We have been going through a study on the Great Commission. Before I read that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your Spirit who is already here. God, thank you for this family. And Lord, thank you that you use us, God. Thank you that we get to take part in this Great Commission. Lord, that you use each one of us uniquely, and we are honored to do that, Lord, and we rely on you for that. Lord, we lift up this time to you right now, that your Spirit would continue to bless us, that you would anoint these words, and God, it would all be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been going from Matthew 28, so I'm going to read from there. It says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" It's talking about the Great Commission, and as we're sending Rachel out, it's funny that I'm up here talking about this. I've been to Ensenada a couple times, but that's it. You know, the go therefore has always made me a little convicted. And those were mission trips. It was through our church, high school trips, and they're awesome, and God moved. But I do love what John spoke about a couple weeks ago, how the Great Commission, we need to separate that from mission trips. It's not just mission trips. It's our lifestyle. John also defined the word go, as you're going about the life that God has given you. I love that. It's a frame of mind. I had 9 points that I was going to go through today. I'm going to knock it down to 4 for you. I really only had 4. And this is really throwing me off right now. First is, along with what we just shared, bloom where you've been planted. That is something that God spoke to me a long time ago. Every one of us in this room has been purposely placed somewhere by God. Everyone has a unique, whether your job, wherever you are, the place where you are right now is unique to you. And God has put certain people in your life. We call it that sphere of influence. Yours is different than mine. And there are people that God has purposely put in your life that only you can influence. And to be aware of that and to look for those opportunities, for who they are, there's a certain responsibility with it. There are people in my life that I know God has placed as a sphere of in my sphere of influence. I'm not talking about buddies and friends. That's different. That's important too. But that God has put in my life for the specific purpose to reach them, to pour into them. And when you know who those people are, there's some responsibility that comes along with that, who these people are. Aaron and I have been thrust into this world where we have a lot of people in our sphere of influence that we would not have had. I mean, places that we have been. I mean, I remember driving out to a boy's house who's terminal. And it just caught me, like, look where we are right now. Look where God has placed us. And driving out to his house and being able to sit with him and be with him, it is unique to every one of us, these people that God has placed in our life. Aaron, this last week, met somebody in therapy who also had a stroke. He was about 49. He had 4 kids, I believe. And Aaron, you know, just talking to him, the kid loves, the man loves Cade. He loves hearing Cade's stories. And there's Cade right here sitting in. Loves hearing the stories about him, and it inspires him. And Aaron had said, you know, we might go to the park with him this weekend. Would you be okay with that? With going to the park with him. And I said, well, you know, it's Saturday, you know, I need to study. I need to study about going out. So no, I can't go. I don't think it's a good idea for me to go out because I need to sit and study about going out.
Something was wrong there.
You know? But it ended up falling through either way. But I would have gone. But God has put people in our life too that only we can influence. I love what Jamie Johnson said. He has gone through a lot of trouble to get those neighbors moved in next to you. A lot of trouble to get those people into your neighborhood, into that house next door. So that puts a certain amount of just of being aware of that, of these people in my life, to bloom where you've been planted. I'm a teacher. I'm about to start my 20th year of teaching elementary school. And I think about halfway through, God really grabbed a hold of what I did, what I do. I remember teaching, they have this thing called the Good News Club, which in a public school, it's an after-school club. And I remember walking in the NPR and seeing it. This is like my second or third year teaching. And I saw these nice ladies and about four kids. And I remember feeling, you know, a little prompting of the Spirit to get involved with this, to be a part of this. And I talked to them about it. They were very eager to do it. And that year went by, and I didn't act on it. The next year came again. They were out there again. I didn't act on it. And then about 3 years later, they were gone. And I completely missed that opportunity. I felt bad about it. I felt, oh, it was an opportunity that I kind of felt the prodding of the Holy Spirit to act on, and I didn't. And then about 8 years ago, about 3 years went by, no Good News Club, and then about 3 years later, I walked in the NPR, and they were back, and they were here again, and I said, I'm not going to let this opportunity go. So I talked to them about me possibly coming alongside and doing kids worship with them, and they were so eager to do it, and I jumped in. I jumped right in with that. And the group grew, and God did so much. And now it was a different experience because I had kids in my class in the Good News Club after school. So kids during my day, and I'm glad Brad is here. He's going to check everything I'm saying, make sure I'm good with the law. Just keep giving me thumbs up. Give me thumbs down when I'm... In fact, we need to shut the tape off. Should we? No? Okay, we're good. So I had these kids in my class, and I understand the separation of church and state. I do. I respect that. I get it. I know a lot of teachers, I would not want them praying with my child. You know, I understand it's a sensitive subject, so I respect it. After school, I talked to my principal. Is this okay if I do this, if I take part in this Good News Club? They looked into it. Yes, it is completely okay. So started doing that, and God really just grabbed a hold of what I was doing at school. Through that Good News Club, Aaron and I, we started the VBS and got a lot of those kids. They represented a good percentage of that first Vacation Bible School, and that's grown from that. And it has continued to go on. So I'm so thankful that I acted on that. And the whole second half of my career has had a whole new aspect to it, of where, like I said, I really look at that year that God grabbed a hold of my job, and I started to bloom where he had planted me. And not saying I wasn't doing anything before that, but at that point, God really, I invited God in, and he really took the lead in that. So bloom where we've been planted. The second point I want to talk about is watching our feet. A few years ago, we had gone to a conference back in Ohio, where Bob Mumford, Charles Simpson were sharing, and those are, Charles has spoken here, just amazing men of faith and have so much to share. And they talked about watching our feet, that the difference of an evidence of a true saving faith is, are we inward or are we outward? And all they did is they had an overhead projector, and if you guys that were there remember, they drew two squiggly lines, a spiral going in, and then a spiral going outward. And we're either one of the other in our life. We are either spiraling in, and our direction is inward, or we are outward. Our direction is outward. And that is what I think the Great Commission is about. It's about being outward focused, wherever we are. It doesn't necessarily mean going on a huge mission trip, you know, that separation. It could be walking across to my neighbor, being invited into their house, and I could, walking across the street doesn't do it either. I could walk across the street and be very inward. I could go down to Ensenada and be very inward. Rachel could be going on this huge trip and be very inward. Okay, we're not going to let you get away with that, though, right? It's a heart. It's a frame of mind. It's an outward focus. And that's what Jesus was. Jesus was always outward. Everything he said, everything he did was always outward focus. So wherever we are, to have an outward focus. His parables were always expansion, expansion. The sower went out to sow. The prodigal son, real quick, Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Outward. Expansion. That is a true evidence that God is working. And it's not easy. We are not naturally bent outward. We are naturally bent inward. We can all go stick our head in the nursery right now and listen to the kids. Inward. Okay, the things I hear from the backseat of my car. Inward. Okay, it's what comes, it's how we are naturally made. We are inward. However, when we meet the Lord, it reverses it. It switches it. Now we should be outward focused. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That is one of the key defining points of these new things. We are no longer inward focused. We are outward focused. In my classroom, I talk about that. I talk about the inward, outward. I don't obviously do not bring God into it, but the characters that we read about in the books that we read in class, how they change. You know, they were focused inward. They were selfish. And then something happened, and they were outward. And you know the stories I read, Narnia, Edmund, all selfish, betrays his brothers and sisters, has an interaction with Aslan, and outward changes. Other stories, Ebenezer Scrooge, completely inward. I have my kids, by the end, we're saying, is he inward, outward? They're all saying, inward, inward. And we keep a list of these characters, and I move them. The names move from the inward, and we move them to the outward now, the change that has occurred. That something happened, that they went from this to that, to outward. And they get it. They get it. And then I use it on them. Are you acting inward, or are you acting outward? You know, and they really get it. And we see so many stories of that in the Bible. Saul, after he has his meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul, very inward to completely outward, laying his life down for the Lord to share the gospel, literally laying his life down. So watch our feet. Where are our feet going? What direction are we going? And it's a battle. It's not necessarily a one-time thing. Okay, now I'm outward, done. I don't have to worry about that anymore. No. Our nature is trying to reverse it every day. It's trying to bring it back. And you won't even realize it. You won't even realize it. We could be years into it. And I have been inward for years, even after conversion. Galatians 3:1-3, Paul warns the Galatians of this. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? They were reversing their spiral. They were starting to turn it back inward as opposed to outward. So it is a battle, but he is with us to help us along. Peter walking on the water. They're in the boat with the disciples. He sees Jesus walking on the water. Lord, let me come to you. He comes out, starts walking on the water. His eyes are outward, focused on Jesus. Then what does he do? He starts looking left and right, starts looking at the waves, and that outward comes inward. And he starts worrying about me. Uh-oh, what is happening here? And sure enough, he begins to sink. So to keep our gaze outward. So let's check our feet. Where are we going? What direction are our feet going? Third point, when we do go out, it reveals what has already been put into us. It really does. In this room right now, everybody, I would imagine, hopefully, pretty much agrees with everyone else about what we believe, and there's a lot of light in this room. But it's when we take that step out that what we really believe truly pours out of us. It spills out of us. Again, Aaron and I, with this whole world that we have stepped into, you know, I never enjoyed hearing sermons on trials and tribulations. It made me uncomfortable because I hadn't had too many, you know, and I was like, oh, everybody kind of goes through this, and I've been pretty good so far. Yeah. And we are going through a trial and a tribulation. But, you know, I didn't know how I would respond. I had no idea how we would respond. And the things that had been poured into me for years, we got bumped, and that's what spilled out. Okay, it's what we're pouring in. That's what spilled out of us in these waiting rooms with other people. And it even surprised us. You know, we have pictures of us smiling way back in dark times, and where Cade was really, he was right after surgery, and, you know, where is that coming from? You know, and that is God, what has already been put in us by Kevin and others in our life, and our entire life, things that the Lord has poured into us, that's what spills out of us. But you don't see it in this room. If this is our whole life, if you are surrounded just by believers and your Bible study and Christian school, which, great. I'm not going there. I mean, I'm not trying to say, but if that's it, if we are all surrounded by believers and Christians, you won't see, what an opportunity you're missing. We're not going to see it. It's when you're in those places that it spills out of you. Cade, for his, he had a Disney pass. Cade, what did you buy with your Disney pass? We went to the Disney store. A lightsaber. A really cool lightsaber that he wanted. And he had this pass. We went there and he bought it. It's blue. It lights up. And I like it. And when he goes to sleep, don't think for a second I'm not playing with it. No, I'm not, because I already had one. It was red. And I had it before he was even born. So now we have lightsaber duels. But the thing about this lightsaber, and it is, I'm not kidding, it is really cool. Driving in today, I was like, oh, I wish I brought it. I wish I had brought it, because that just came to me as I was driving in. I would turn out the lights right now, and I would turn that thing on. It would light up the room. You'd hear the buzz. The thing's awesome, right, Cade? Loves it. But when you're in a room that's all lit up and you turn it on, you don't see the light. You don't see it at all. It's just like one of those, you know, fluorescent lights that when you don't see the glow at all, even though it's totally turned on. But in the dark, it lights up the room. So it's the same thing. When we're out, our light shines. But if we're just all surrounded, and obviously none of us are, we all have places where we are shining our lights. But that's an opportunity for us. Rachel is about to go. We are sending her out. And it is going to be an opportunity for everything that's been poured into her by everyone in this room for the last decade. We're going to see now. We're going to see, because she's going to get bumped a lot, and things are going to spill out. We're going to see what's been poured. She's going to see. That's the other thing. She's going to see what's been poured into her. And she's going to step back and say, wow. You know, all those hour midnight conversations and the pouring in that everyone's done to her in this room, she's going to really have that opportunity to see. And it's only when we are out in that situation that we get that. It's something we don't want to miss, that, to see what spills out of us, what pours out of us. And then the last point is our most powerful tool as we go in the Great Commission, across the street, wherever we are, with the unique sphere of influence that we have, being outward focused, what pours out of us. I'll use Rachel again. She just got back from training, right, last couple weeks ago. All the training, the things that have been poured into her, she has a lot of weapons. She has a lot of tools to take with her. But the most powerful tool that Rachel has is the same, is the most powerful tool that I have, that you have. We all have it, and we don't use it very often. And I think the most powerful tool as we go out is the power that is in our own story. Our own story. What God has done in our life. That speaks so many more volumes than the verses that we can quote. But if we tell our story and what God has done to us, God uses that. People want to hear that. I'll quote Bob Mumford again. He said that in today, the postmodern era, that you cannot bribe people with heaven any longer. Likewise, you cannot blackmail people with hell. They don't care about that. However, they do want to see God. They do want to see his face. They do want to have what we have, that abundant life that has been poured out into us, that is revealed in our story of what God has done to us. That's real. And they want that. People want that. People need that. We all need that. That is universal. And it is the power in our story, the story, our personal story of when we went from inward to outward. That event that happened. Telling that part of the story. I love the songs that Pat was playing this morning. What was the last one? He just sang it. I wrote it. Amazing Grace. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. That's it. That's what going out is, isn't it? It's just singing of all that he's done for me. That's what it is. That's what people want to hear. And then listening to their story as well. That's the other part that is so important. Hearing their story and being real with them. And I'll end with what Kevin quoted today of John 14:5, abiding in him. We cannot do any of this if we are not abiding in the Lord, in the vine. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So just to remain in him, our vertical relationship with him has got to be first. Otherwise, stepping out, it won't work. You'll be doing it in our own strength. He goes before us. It's his, another line from one of the songs this morning. It's your breath in my lungs. It's his breath in us. So we abide in him as we go out. So just to recap, where has God placed us? Bloom where we've been planted. Have an outward, what direction are our feet going? Have that outward gaze, keeping our eyes fixed on him. Then look at what pours out of us. Look at what spills out of you. When you are out there, when we are set out away from all the light that is in this room, and we go out, we really get the opportunity to see it and to use our story, to know our story. Can you tell your story in 45 seconds? Don't tell your story in 45 minutes. Okay, we might be going into too much detail. You'll know. But can we get good at telling our own story, what God has done for us, and do it precise and quick and to his glory and all that he's done, and to abide in him as we go out into this great commission? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, again, Lord, that you use us. Lord, that we get to take part in your work. God, that you want to use us. Lord, you could tear open the skies, shout down from the heavens, Lord, but you don't. You use us. The heavens do proclaim your glory, Lord, but you want to use each one of us in this room, and you have lives in our people in our lives, Lord, that you have placed there for a purpose. God, open up our eyes to those people. Lord, help us to check our feet. What direction are we going? That we would be outward people, not inward, but we would have an outward gaze upon you and on the world and all that you are doing. And Lord, we thank you for those opportunities where what you have poured into us does spill out. And God, we thank you for our stories, for the story that you are writing in each one of our lives and the power that is in it. Lord, help us to not rob you of your glory by not sharing that story with people. God, it is such a powerful tool, the work that you have done. So as we go forward this week, Lord, open up our eyes to the people that you have placed in our life. and that you would continue to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.